This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello, and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike. I'm joined by Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
And Steve Megatron.
Yo, yo, yo.
We are going to be giving you, the listeners, the insight to the newest Transformers cartoon review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. This was an idea that, like, I think by episode 13 of TFG1, it was like, I know Steve had me on All Things Transformers episode 9 is when we first started talking and, you know, collaborating and all that stuff. And he asked me what was after TFG1, and I said, honestly, I don't know. I said, if I ever get any of the Beast cartoons, maybe a Beast Machines podcast. And lo and behold, 2 years, or no, not 2 years later, 1 year later, here we are. Actually, it's very funny. This will actually be released December 12th, 2009, the 1 year anniversary of the TFG1 podcast started.
Go figure.
Yes. Considering the show was originally planned to be started back in June of 2009. So, how are you guys? What's been going on with you, Steve?
Well, happy to be back into the daily grind of podcasting and websites and all that other great stuff. Not really much else. Nothing bad really going on. Just kind of ready to do the Beast Unleashed and talk turkey.
No, we had enough of that last month.
Yes. And you want to know how Megatron says it? Gobble, gobble.
Right.
Nicely done, sir.
Yes.
Okay. What have you been up to, Michael? We just talked to you on ToyCast, but that won't air until Monday, I believe.
Yeah, actually today, my wife graduated from college for her master's degree.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we went out after she got home from her her last class, her final class, and celebrated a little bit. That was nice. So she's actually now qualified to be a principal.
Oh, cool.
If it came right down to it. In fact, at her school, she is the de facto principal in case the principal or the vice principal is gone for the day. So it's, I don't know, a nice thing to put on the resume, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, you know, people will have heard ToonCast episode 28, which was released yesterday. Well, as of this recording, it was released Wednesday of this week. And this evening I went out to Walmart and Target looking for some new Transformers toys. I was specifically looking for another Voyager Prime, and I was wanting Voyager Blitzwing. Don't ask me why. I saw a review of it, and I like the robot mode.
He's sharp.
Yeah. The only and I've kind of found a way around this. If you turn on his arms, if you turn the wing panels like they're facing his arms and the wings are basically facing up and down, it's not so bad. But if you have them facing the back of it, it kind of sucks in the robot mode. But the robot mode is the only thing I like about it. I don't like the alt modes whatsoever.
Who are we talking about?
Blitzwing.
Oh, you got a Blitzwing.
Blitzwing, yes.
Ah, cool.
Yep.
Good find.
Yes. I found Blitzwing, and I found Cybertron Mode Optimus Prime. Fortunately, when I got Cybertron Mode Optimus Prime home, and the only thing I really bought him for was his axe, it does not fit in Voyager Prime's hand.
Wow.
I mean, I could shave some stuff off, but, yeah.
Crazy glue.
Yeah, I'm not a toy.
Kit basher.
Kit basher, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Rubber bands.
It's actually very funny. I went to Walmart. The deluxes there, they restocked everything. That they had at least six of each of Electrostatic Soundwave and Freeway Jazz. Unfortunately, I don't like either of those.
Wow.
But, I don't, I just, whatever. Unfortunately, I went to Target immediately after I went to Walmart. And, well, Target, Walmart had the deluxes for $11.88. Target had them for $8.44.
Wow.
So, yeah. But anyway, I'm kind of happy about it.
Hey, excuse me, I gotta go to Target.
No, you don't. You've already stolen Target toys, thank you very much.
That's why I gotta go. I gotta steal some more.
No, no.
He's gotta catch them all. Wow, that was a bad pun.
That was.
Bad pun.
That was Armada.
Oh, okay.
Armada, the Pokemon of the Transformers.
Yes, yes, really. Actually, it's unfortunate. I'm actually kind of pissed at the Blitzwing toy right now because when I got him out of the box, didn't realize after I unscrewed all the wires that I thought needed to be unscrewed, there's actually a wire inside of the damn toy. I literally almost ripped my fingernail completely toy out of the package.
I laugh at your pain.
Shut the fuck up.
point and laugh.
So I eventually got it all. I actually had to transform him into robot mode to get the wire off of his damn body.
Nice.
I have no idea why. And when I tried transforming Cybertron Mode Optimus, he, like my Blur, when I first got Blur, Cybertron Mode Optimus is now a paraplegic. That's no.
Save it for ToyCast.
Yes, I know. So yes, the Beast Unleashed podcast. We've got we will have 30 episodes covering both Beast Machines or both Beast Wars and Beast Machines. We already have one voice actor interview. That is the interview of David Kay that Steve and I had already done previously to this recording, which will be featured on the feed and the website the same day this goes up. Excuse me.
Unless I feel like being mean and making them wait till Saturday.
No, that's the point. Both of them are going up Saturday.
No, this one goes up Friday.
No, this one goes up Saturday because that's the one-year anniversary since the whole plan, man.
It won't be a year later.
The plan, Stan.
Yes, a year later. Anyway,
I was going to go into Toshi Station and pick up some power converters.
Shut up. Shut up, Luke Skywalker.
Is it whitey bitch Luke is what that would be. Yes.
Exactly. The plan for this show is you're going to get, the listeners are going to get an episode every other week. At this point, we have not... What?
Go ahead. What? Sorry. No.
Sure.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I wasn't saying... Shut up! At this point, we have not determined what day the episodes will be released. It just depends on when we can actually record them the week before. So,
it's that day that ends in Y.
It would be all of them. So technically, we could do one a day, and have the show done by say March.
If we could keep them short enough, that would be kind of cool.
We're not doing that. No.
That'd be exhausting.
Too much production work.
Yeah.
Production work? What the fuck are you talking about? I do all the production. You only do the artwork.
Yeah, but I have to put them online. Genius.
That's you always say, oh, it's not a bother to put them online. It's nothing.
Well, I got
to
do the RSS feed, and then I got to put them on the freaking...
information to put in the RSS feed, man.
Yeah, I know you type it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because I'm lazy.
All you have to do is copy and paste it.
It still takes work.
This is like the... Yeah, before we get anything done here, before we even begin, let's get all of the behind-the-scenes action out of the way. And first, we're going to talk about the production operations that go into building the Beast Unleashed.
Yeah, well, we've
covered that. Yes, thank you.
All right, well, we are to get into... Actually, it's funny, Steve... In the episode zero, instead of just going on and on like we are now, why don't we actually review something, seeing as how episode one will not be until January 2010, and I said, why don't we start with the theft of the golden disc? So you will hear our discussion on that next. So, the theft of the golden disc. Steve, you want to give us some background information on this thing?
Sure. Yes, this episode starts out with an introduction by Cryotech, who is basically a big a gangster kind of entity within the Cybertronian race. He's a fallout, basically, from the old Decepticons and now Predacons, and, well, basically what he's after is stealing the Golden Disk, in which he entrusts this mission onto his star pupil, who is his little, basically, bitch to start out with, is Megatron, and he wants him, along with his other Predacons, to go buy his Golden Disk and basically bring it back to him, and Megatron and Cryotech are basically having power plays against each other throughout this episode on who's going to betray who and succeed. So basically it goes off to the part with Megatron and his group going to the power plant. Part of them are attacking the few Maximals. There's a couple Predacons on Cryotech's side who are basically in it to set up Megatron to fail. Of course, Megatron's group quickly disposes of them and furthermore frames them, and Megatron basically ends up with the Golden Disk, and a Cryotech ends up arrested by the end of it, screaming Megatron's name. And yeah, so this is basically the very first direct episode of the Beast Wars, even though it's not physically in the show, and it is for the BotCon 2006 year.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it's BotCon 2007, my fault.
I think it was 06. Oh. Dawn of Futures Past.
Yeah.
Well, his original air date is July 1st at BotCon 2007.
That's odd. No, it was 2006. It was basically the pre-Beast War bodies of the crew of the Axelon. Well, and Dinobot. So you had
That was for the Dawn of Futures Past, which was the 2006 BotCon. This physical video came out a year later, I believe. But they didn't have, it was kind of rushed, so they didn't have time to actually sync it up with the designs from the Dawn of Futures Past comic book.
Well, I mean, it looks pretty close. I mean, the designs are the same for Dinobot. The designs are the same for Waspinator, who was released at the 2006 BotCon.
Yeah. Him and Megatron and Dinobot, at least.
Yeah. And that Clocker mold was used for Cheetor and
Tigatron.
Yeah, for both of them. And they used that a whole lot for, well, they basically said that I know they said Tigatron was one of the MaxCom Force.
Yep.
Yeah. And they basically all of the security guards and the police officers or whatever in here were all in that Clocker mold, which is neat. I mean, it was cool to be able to spot, you know, who was in which mold. Like Cryotech is clearly Energon Shock Blast. Which
actually fits his character.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. I mean, I think I would have preferred to see something more like, you know, the Transmetal 2 Dragon, but, you know, they're not going to do that for a pre-Beast Wars figure.
We'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, well, Cryotech eventually ends up with that form in the Universe comics.
Well, yeah, they created a figure for him.
But he also gets that form of the dragon.
Yeah. No, the, God, I forget which year Cryotech came out. But, yeah, he was in the Universe line.
Yeah, when I first saw him, I was like, who the hell is this guy? No, seriously, because, alright, as I've said before, I've seen Beast Wars, but I never actually saw this until Steve pointed it out to me. You know, of course, after seeing Beast Wars, I know, you know, Megatron and all that stuff. As far as Karatek goes, why does he remind me of Calypso from the Twisted Metal video games? He sounds just like him.
A little. I never played that game. I don't know.
I've never played it either. You said that he sounds just like him?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, this guy, he... I believe it's Frank Todaro that did Cryotech. I could be wrong. I'm looking that up on the wiki right now. But he... No, it's actually Brad Venerable. He's done Transformer fan dub work on tfcog.net.
Okay.
So I've actually worked with some of these people on fan dubs.
Yeah. No, if you... And I know Michael won't do this, but Steve, if you go back and listen to our the end of our Geekcast Radio episode 5, the top 50 thing, I put Twisted Metal audio in there for those games when I was talking about them in that episode, so you can hear Lipso's voice in that. And of course, whoever's going to be listening to the show will know who I'm talking about if you've played the Twisted Metal games. But, yeah, and we were talking about this off the air, and you guys started basically ribbing me on it because I wasn't for sure, because I had never seen this before. I said, it, and one of my notes is Dinobot in this? Because is no voice credit for him, because he doesn't speak. And I just wasn't sure. I was like, okay, I see the shield twirly thing, and I see the sword, and I see the colors, and I see the blue face, and I see the teeth, but I'm not sure. And yes, he is in this.
Yeah, he was the third character shown, besides, if you don't count the diagnostic drone.
Yeah. I find it very funny that they show the diagnostic drone in this.
Now, see, actually, they have a lot of references in this 10-minute video. There's a lot of like Generation 1 sounds and references to the dawn of Futures Past. You get the statue of Optimus Prime in front of the buildings, the diagnostic drone from Beast Machines. Behind Cryotech in a couple scenes, you'll see the Viacon symbol as well as a motorcycle drone on the screen behind him. I actually had found that out through the wiki and went back and watched it, and it is clearly in there. There are a couple other Easter eggs, like a statue of Antagony, which is a Botcon figure, basically a female Inferno, and J-Axis from the Generation 2 comics. There's Cyberplanet Key, Replica of the Matrix, a couple little Pretender things, and yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of little references to other aspects of Beast Wars and Beast Machines hidden in there.
Yeah, I definitely picked out that null rate sound when they were doing some of the battling. Starscream's null ray sound in it.
Yeah, I was wondering who the female statue was, and for some reason I was thinking it was Black Arachnia. I'm thinking, why is she there? That makes no sense.
Yes, I would like to have seen. I mean, I know this is just a 12-minute, you know, preview thing or whatever, you know, kind of giving a little bit of history before the Beast Wars cartoon or the comic or whatever, but I would have liked to have seen what, like, take the characters from Beast Wars and take the first 5 minutes of the first episode and have them on Cybertron, like, getting to the ship to chase Megatron. Because, I'll get to that once we get to that episode next time we're recording, but I would like to have seen something with them on Cybertron before they go to Earth.
Yeah, that's essentially what I want to say what the comic book is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what the comic book is, but you never actually see much of the Maximals following Megatron until they're actually in their ships.
Yeah.
Right. In the cockpit, a very dark cockpit. Yeah. You can basically just see their faces.
Yeah.
And it was the only character that you actually see without a beast form in the very first episode. The whole body is Megatron.
Oh, yeah, when they're in the ship. Yeah.
Yep, and it's kind of dark, so, I mean, you can't really see too much detail, but you can see enough to where they actually made that, like, Megatron's actual form and the form you see in this video clip, and that was the Botcon toy, is actually, like, a powered-up armor kind of like how Power Master Prime is.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say like an Ultra Magnus almost.
Yeah basically.
Yeah. Megatron in Golden, in Theft of the Golden Disk, David Kay, I don't know how long it was. Well, no, it was after Beast Wars had even aired. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is...
He's
almost 7 years later.
Yeah, he sounds, like, really young in this, though, for the Mega voice.
But they didn't have as much of the audio editing as they did in the Beast Wars. And, you know, obviously he's aged, so, I mean, it's the voice isn't going to be exact.
True.
But it is, you know, it actually does kind of fit with this because it's not as dark-toned as this Beast Machines version and not, you know, it does sound younger. So, I mean, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. Which, if you're doing a prequel, that's good. I'm not complaining about it, but it just, I don't know, when I first heard it, I'm like, what? That's Megatron? No, that's not Megatron. Even though I knew it was, I was like, what the heck's up with his voice?
I didn't realize it was David Kay. I thought maybe they had somebody, you know, or maybe they've got Steve, you know, doing his best Megatron impersonation.
It's actually very funny that you mentioned that, Michael, because I actually brought up the fact to Mr. Kay that Steve does impersonate his Megatron voice, and what did he tell you, Megatron?
He basically told me that it's the best impersonation and best Megatron copy that he's ever heard.
Nice.
Yep.
Straight from the source.
Yes. Do we have anything else that we want to bring up?
Other than there was the only errors they had in this. I mean, it's kind of crazy they have errors in a 10-minute clip that, you know, there's a whole another comic and then a whole series on. But Scorponok, Pterosaur, and Tarantulas have different bodies than they do in the comic following these events. But that had to do with lack of production time. So they just kind of used old models of animation to make it easier on them.
Now, I liked Buzz Bomb. Or the way they used, Armada Cyclonus. I should say I think Armada Cyclonus popped up twice in there. Once is the Buzz Bomb remold, and then once is some random Predacon getting shot up.
So technically, outside of the actual, you know, letting us know how the theft of the gold happened, this is basically one giant toy commercial outside of the actual cartoon.
Well, there's no toys of these. I mean, aside from Dinobot and Megatron, which were, and Waspinator, which were BotCon exclusives and probably very hard to wrangle, the rest of these are not really toys.
But you just said that they're from different...
They're
still from other eras.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they took the I don't want to say the mold, but they made 3D models of existing toys, but they gave them different heads. I mean, it's almost like you would almost expect some of these characters to pop up again at a BotCon. If they said, well, let's revisit Dawn of Futures Past, and let's create a Pterosaur, and we'll create a Backslash, and we'll create a Scorponok, or a stylized repaint of Storm Surge or something.
Okay.
I could see that.
I would kill for a toy of this Megatron, even though it's just a Cybertron figure repaint in a slight remold. I
Cybertron
would kill the
Defense Red Alert, I think it was.
Yep.
I should send pictures of mine.
You suck.
Oh, you didn't go to BotCon that year? What the hell?
I can't afford to.
I'm
sad.
Where was it in 2006? It was,
Rhode Island?
Was it Rhode Island that year?
Yeah.
No, that was 2006. That was 2007.
No, 2006, it was in Lexington, Kentucky. Woohoo!
Yeah, you could have went.
I was going to go to that one, but short of price and all that, yeah, I couldn't go because of the price.
Oh, yeah, we flew in. But
I was so bad.
if I had known you then, we could have hooked up for dinner or something.
Yeah, you bastard.
Sorry.
I actually, as a treat for the listeners, because I wasn't sure how to approach the episode zero outside of us just shooting the shit about how the show is going to play out. And this is before I even had the idea to actually talk about the comic and the Theft of the Golden Disc. When I watched it for like the third time this afternoon, I actually, as I was watching it, I ripped the audio from it. So that is what they will hear after this discussion, some ads, and then the outro and the closing music. As far as the audio for the intro outro, the way I'm going to do that is, for season one of Beast Wars, it'll have the season one intro outro from the show. Even though they don't change that much between the three seasons, there are slight changes. Like in the first season's intro, you can hear, or the first season's outro, you can hear a lot of the sound effects, like the blasts and everything else. In the second season's one, you can hear significantly more music and less sound effects for the outro. So I'm going to change it up each time we switch from a season to a season. Yeah. Do you guys have any other thoughts before
I do.
You do?
To Steve?
Other than they finally have a total count of how many times Megatron says yes and no throughout the series.
That's got to be on the wiki somewhere.
He says once. Yeah, he says. Yeah, that's where I found it. I have actually seen the video though. It says Megatron says yes 166 times and no 54 times, and it says ironically for someone who said yes so much, his last line in the series was no.
Oh, that's right. When he's screaming, when Prime. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we will get.
When Rhinox rams him, and then when he's on the back of the ship. But, of course,
yeah.
I'm cutting to the end of the show, so.
Yeah. Well, you're giving it all away!
Wait, you mean the.
Spoiler!
End of Wars, right? Not the beginning of.
Nemesis.
Okay, yeah.
That's Beast Wars only. I'm not counting Beast Machines because he's kind of taken on a different, slightly different role.
Yeah. But not really. It's still Megatron.
Did you know that originally Hasbro intended to wipe out Megatron's body and make him be reformatted as Inferno?
What? Why?
That was according to a 1997 interview.
Wow. See, now, even it, back then, they really knew how to screw up a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, they almost did, too. If they would have put him as Inferno, never would have liked the character again.
That would have been it, yeah.
I would have been like, that's it, I'm done.
I give up.
Mention, sorry to interrupt you guys, we should mention that I have gotten tons during my 48-hour marathon of watching Beast Wars for pure enjoyment, because I hadn't actually watched it before all the way through at once for pure enjoyment. I got screen grabs from each episode, not really, you know, just like, good images that I think would make good art. So each podcast episode will have a new art image each time we do an episode. So that's a plus for the iTunes and RSS feed people.
Nice.
Yes.
So we will be right back.
Podcast good.
Come forward. I've called you here in regard to a little-known artifact called the Golden Disc, a seemingly insignificant scrap of metal made by a small, frail species hardly worth mentioning. And yet, this object holds the key to the conquest of the whole of Cybertron. For over 300 cycles, the Golden Disc has carried the mystery of incredible power under its shimmering surface. I could tell you the tales of 1,000 Maximals and Predacons who have hunted this dark relic. Every story has the same ending. Destruction. I've nothing but faith in you, Megatron. In fact, I'm as fond of you as if you were my own son. The plan to recover the golden disk is daring. Ambitious. I might even say brilliant. After all, it is my idea. My agents have, let's just say, stumbled to the ship you need. More importantly, they have identified the data archive that contains all the information the Maximals have on the disk, including its current location. Don't forget, Megatron, you may retrieve the Datacon, but only I can decode it.
Of course, Cryotech.
Take care, my pupil.
You know what to do, Backslash.
Security web could be trouble.
Team Alpha, let us bring down the lights. Yes?
Consider it done.
What the? What are you? Stop! Stop right there! What do you think you're...
Watch your back, Clamps.
The security grid is down. Quickly, before emergency power kicks in. Computer, begin priority one transmission on private frequency X9.
Acknowledged. Encoded transmission received. Commencing full decryption. Time to completion, 3.25 cycles.
Megatron! Terrorize!
I can almost feel the disc in my hands.
What about the Maximums?
Who do you think called them? With the archive destroyed, there will be no evidence to implicate me.
And Megatron?
Someone had to take the fall and throw the Maximals off the trail long enough for the real crime to go down.
But you said...
What I said was true. I couldn't have been fonder of Megatron if he were my own son. But, well, if you lose a son, it is possible to get another. There's only one filter disc. After all, he was bound to betray me. I simply chose to betray him first.
Thank you. I wish to speak to my lawyer.
There once was a boy, an albino, I'm told, who possessed the power of Pen Pusher Gold. He had many stories, all short and exciting, but nobody knew, and so he began writing. He sat there all summer and skillfully sought to perfectly ponder and polish each plot. The settings were set, all the characters cast, his fingers were flying and flailing so fast, and soon the young man with the snowy complexion quickly concocted the caffeine collection. He smiled, satisfied with his clever creation. Oh, the things that did pour from his imagination. Stories of pirates and future police, of devils and bullies, and a twist press release. Fantasy, mystery, both are included. Comedy, action, no genre excluded. You say to yourself, it's too good to be true, but author Steve Saylor would not lie to you. An audiobook so you don't have to read. And hey, $15 is all that you need.
From the author of the podcast novel, Black Shadow, Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection, a dynamic audiobook collection of short stories presented by RingtoneFeeder.com and SteveSaylor.net. Steve presents a genre mashup of multiple stories for your ears.
I have to be on caffeine to write all this.
Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection, on sale October 28th, 2009.
So mark this day down so you will not forget. For more information, SteveSaylor.net.
Transformers ToyCast has been transformed into Just ToyCast. For the past 25 episodes, we have talked about just Transformers toys. Now, starting with the 26th episode, which is currently out, we are expanding into all toy collections. You can find us on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and transcend. It's going to be a new year, a new decade, a new Transformers review podcast from the guys that brought you the TFG1 podcast and all things Transformers. Coming January 2010, The Beast Unleashed podcast. It will feature 22 action-packed episodes reviewing both Beast Wars and Beast Machines. You can find it at www.geekcastradio.com and on iTunes. It will feature the voice talents of TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, and Pecan Court Michael. So unleash the beast within you. The TFG1 podcast has 24 action-packed discussion episodes on the original Transformers cartoon. So if you're a fan of the 80s cartoon, we have all you need and more, as well as an interview with Stan Bush. You can find us on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
We are back, and apparently Mr. Wilson had some stuff he still wanted to talk about, so...
I gotta get this off my chest here, because I'm just confused, and you know, I thought maybe you guys would shed some light on this. Basically, you know, the plan to steal the golden disc was to split up into three teams, and the first team of, you know, Megatron and Dinobot and Dirge was to secure the data chip, and the second team, which was Scorponok and Backslash, was to cut the power so that Team 1 could then get inside without being noticed. And Team 3, which was Waspinator, Pterosaur, and Buzzbomb, were supposed to steal transport, supposed to steal the dark side. As far as we could tell, that was their job.
Yes.
So each team had a Cryotech Patsy. Team 1 had Dirge. Team 2 had Backslash, and Team 3 had Buzzbomb. And in each case, you know, they kind of got theirs, right? Leaving pretty much just the core Predacon crew of the dark side. So, oh, and then there's Tarantulas, who basically intercepts the transmission from Megatron and cackles.
Yes.
But yeah, which is cool. I wasn't really sure what that was signifying, but what was the point for Team 3 to steal the dark side? I can understand if Megatron says, "I'm going to steal this disc, and I gotta get the hell off the planet." And I can understand if he says, "I need this ship." Or, you know, I think the way it was told later, Waspinator and Pterosaur just kind of show up with the ship and say, "Look what we got you." And Megatron's like, "Wow, this is really nice." You know, I think that's in the comic.
Yeah.
Where Megatron's like, "Wow, this is much better than I expected as a getaway ship," which is cool, but, you know, why would that team be sanctioned by Cryotech? Why put Buzzbomb in there? What did Cryotech think that they were stealing the ship for?
Steve would have to talk about this because, honestly, I have no clue.
Well, I mean, maybe I think that the idea there was for them just to go in and shoot up the Predacon base. But I don't, and maybe just a byproduct of that was, hey, the ship happens to be here. But, I mean, was that supposed to be a diversion? And if so, why attack the Predacon base? Why not attack the Maximal base? I mean, it's kind of like shooting your own guys. It just didn't make any sense to me.
I think that was just a group sanctioned by Megatron, and I think that they just kind of... I think that maybe Terrorsaur and Waspinator knew about it, and Buzzbomb probably was just sent with them. And just kind of, you know, because he seems more like a crony anyway, more than those guys did.
Right. Well, they ended up killing him, though.
Yeah, Terrorsaur shot him in the back and left him to die. But, yeah, they used that as their getaway vehicle. I think Megatron initially, when he was being told of the Golden Disk, already had his plan set up to backstab Cryotech. Just like Cryotech had a plan at the same time to backstab Megatron, only Megatron beat him to it. And Tarantulas' sole purpose was to decode the data chip to find the location of the Golden Disk so Megatron could steal it.
Right.
Instead of having to go back to Cryotech, which is what Cryotech wanted.
Right. And instead, Cryotech got the homing signal.
Yes, because Megatron is freaking awesome for that.
He's freaking awesome.
Heck, very funny. I know a lot of people, sometimes some people don't like to watch through credits. But when I was getting, because I wanted, I love the outro music to this. It's like, it's almost like the classic G1 theme, but it's like in a slightly different musical tone. But at the very end of it, Cryotech's like, I want my lawyer.
I want to talk to my lawyer.
It says, I wish to speak to my lawyer. It's right after the closing credits. Yeah, that was the memorable clip for the thing.
Yeah.
But, it says that the... full version of the theft was put up on YouTube and embedded on the official Transformer Collectors Club. Wow, that's a mouthful. In January of 08. And then it says the YouTube version also contains an extra scene not in the Botcon reel, and it was the shot of the dark side in the hangar with Terrorsaur, Waspinator, and Buzzbomb when they took it over. It says that the ship was never actually appeared in the original version.
Yeah, I think Buzzbomb was dead by then. It was just Waspinator and Terrorsaur.
Yeah, because
taking the ship.
Yeah, they're awesome like that. But I definitely did like the ending credits that they used, like the remix of the original G1 music.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So I guess now, do we have any more other thoughts that we want to discuss before I close this out?
No, I think that's it.
I think we're good. Well, yeah, I had one question. I wasn't sure if there actually was a cyber jet of Dirge, and I don't think there was.
I think that might have been even a Beast Wars 2 release.
Oh, yeah, if that's what it was. Yeah, in Beast Wars 2, there was a... Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah, because I'm actually looking at the G2 page on Transformer Land right now. And no, there was Air Raid, Hooligan, Jetfire, Skyjack, Space Case, and Strafe. But no Dirge. And no, yeah, the Dirge was the Beast Wars 2 release in the Cyberjet.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, because I think I knew I had one. I just couldn't remember where it came from.
I would say you have everything, but that's incorrect. Proto Man has everything.
I think Proto Man comes pretty close. He's got a lot of the, I want to say, whereas I have a lot of the old stuff, like complete series from 84, 85, 86, 87, I think he's got a lot of the new stuff, especially some of the really hard to find things out of Japan.
Well, he's got a lot of hard to find things out of Japan, but he told me one night after a record, we actually went on video on Skype and we were showing each other different stuff, like, I don't know, Mighty Mugs and whatever else, I don't know. But he said to me that he has 3 out of like 6 rooms in his house are filled to the brim with Transformers.
Yeah, my wife wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah, I know.
Mine either.
So.
Yeah, I get one room.
Yes, I think we're going to close this one out. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other podcasts there. The second is you can stop by predaconempire.com/nexus. Those are our new forums. The third is you can leave the show feedback on iTunes. If people want to wait until we actually launch the show in January to do that, that would be most appreciated, leaving feedback on iTunes. That's the best way to help the show. You're going to say something, Michael? You took a breath there.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot my judicious use of mute.
Oh, okay. The fourth is you can visit another great geek culture website, www.earth-2.net. In their forums, you can find our threads for the shows in the self-promotion section. And the fifth is the email address, which is beastunleashedpodcast@gmail.com. Now, that's a mouthful.
That's what she said.
Oh, God, we're not going there. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving us for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1Mike. And Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Michael?
I'm at PecanCourt Michael. PecanCourtAel.
USA.
Mickey Mouse.
And so we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be reviewing the first three episodes from Beast Wars Season 1. Those being Beast Wars Parts 1 and 2 and The Web. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with PecanCourt Michael and Steve Megatron saying in the... why don't we actually have Megatron close the show? What does Megatron have to say about this episode 0 that we just recorded?
Excellent. Yes.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.